Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. Walking among heroes. You know you're doing that? Almost on a daily basis. You probably don't see it in a lot of ways, but there are heroes out there. And Jeff Wells is one of them. Doug Stebbleton will tell you that. Jeff, humble guy, Army captain, former Army captain, combat engineer. He's going to say, well, let's talk about the real heroes. But good morning. Let's welcome them. First, I'll say hello to Jeff. Jeff, how are you doing, sir?
Great, Tom. Thanks so much for having us. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, this will be a fun story. Thanks for coming on, and thanks for your service as well. And Doug Stebbleton. Doug, thanks for thinking of us. How you been?
I've been good, Tom. Thank you. Yeah, appreciate the opportunity to come back on your show. It's been a couple of years or so it's good to talk to you again and your audience.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like that long ago. And then I went and looked back at the podcast page, and boy, it has been a couple of years. So, thanks. Thanks for what you're doing here, too. I'm going to start with you Doug, okay? So that you can set the stage for Jeff. And Jeff, I want to hear these stories. I saw something on your Facebook page just recently, and there was a gentleman who you had brought back, or who, you know, accompanied him to Normandy. And you could just see the emotions and all that processing going on with him. And I want to get your sense, because you have a lot of stories to tell in that regard. But Doug Stebbleton, who is Jeff Wells?
Well, Jeff Wells is a great guy, first off, really great guy, humble guy. I've only known Jeff for about 4 years. The way I met Jeff is I got an email one day from Maurice Renault, who, as you mentioned, I did a movie called Mother of Normandy, which was about Maurice's mother and father. And Maurice kind of knows pretty much everything that's going on in Normandy during the D-Day anniversaries, which I've been going for about, next June it'll be 20, I've been going for 28 years to the anniversary. So I love going. I meet interesting people, a lot of patriots from America and different countries. And so I was on an email one time from Maurice to Jeff, and he just met Jeff, and then he copied me on it. So he said, Doug, you should reach out to Jeff. He's a great guy. So I called Jeff. He lives in San Antonio. We talked on the phone, kind of found out what he was doing. And I think 2 or 3 months later, we were all going to be in Normandy in June for the D-Day anniversary. So that's how I first met Jeff, on the phone. And then we got to hang out in Normandy in person. And I got a chance to see Jeff do what he does with the World War II veterans. He had brought at that time maybe a couple of veterans back. And I got to see Jeff do some talks. Jeff actually is a very good historian. And that's how we first met, and I got a chance to learn more about his organization's Wish for Our Heroes. He invited me to a gala a couple years ago. I got to see him in action with his amazing volunteers and granting some wishes to some military families, people in need, and I started to see what was happening. So after getting to know Jeff and seeing him in action, after I got back from Normandy this last June, in July, it just kind of dawned on me, saying, wow, Jeff's an amazing guy. I think his story is similar to Mother Normandy. It's a very human interest story. He's changing lives, making an impact in people's lives. And I said, I think I'd like to do a documentary about his organizations and his story and how it all happened. And I ran across Jeff. He's a very humble guy. He wasn't sure if people would be interested. I said, Jeff, people will be interested in the story. It's just going to resonate with a lot of people. And so he said, okay, let's move forward. And so we started moving forward, and in September, I went to San Antonio, did some interviews, and then I just was in Florida with Jeff a couple weeks ago. So that's kind of how it all started. And I'll let Jeff you can ask Jeff some questions. He can fill in some of the holes and answers on his side.
Yeah, I got a lot of questions for you, Jeff. Of course, I want you to talk about, you know, Wish for Our Heroes, the Walk Among Heroes as well, and Winston's Warriors. But let's start how it started for you.
Well, Tom, first of all, thanks for putting up with Doug all these years. Doug's an amazing, amazing, amazing guy, and it's an honor to have met him. The work that he did with Mother of Normandy and has done on other projects is just amazing.
He's not a quitter. He's not a quitter, I'll tell you. Yeah.
My first question when he asked me about doing this is I said, wow, that sure sounds like a boring story. I don't know if anybody would be interested in that. But no, he's an amazing guy. And this all started for me. I have to go back to when we were in Iraq. As you mentioned, I was with the 1st Cavalry Division in Iraq, and we had a very unique situation. Normally, combat engineers support infantry. You know, you build bridges, minefields, all that stuff. But when we were in Iraq, there was a shortfall in Baghdad of task forces to cover down in the city. So we were the 1 to 2 combat engineer battalions in the army that had Bradleys. And so we ended up with our own sector in Baghdad. And it turned out to be one of the most dangerous areas in Iraq during that time. And overall, I was a platoon leader over there. So we were going patrol every day. And throughout the tour, I lost 5 soldiers total. And then I had 12 soldiers in my platoon of about 35 that were injured to the point that they had to come home, you know, lost limbs, things like that. And one particular day, it was August of 2004, we were on patrol and we had a tremendous firefight, which that doesn't happen very often with the insurgents. Usually it's a quick type of thing. And then in this case, it went on for 18 hours. And we had a prolonged firefight for 18 hours. And in that time, we were out there the whole time. I lost a soldier. His name was Josh Bunch. And when we finally got to come back to our camp, I was walking to our TOC, which is our kind of our operations center. And I saw one of my soldiers. His name was Bernie. He was sitting on the steps and he was crying. You know, he had his head in his hands and he was crying. And so I just assumed that it was because we lost Josh or because, you know, it was a rough day at the office. And so I sat down, put my arm around him and I talked to him and he told me his story. He had just reenlisted for 6 years. The army paid him a bonus, very meager bonus for 6 years. And he waited in line to check on the computer. At that time, you had to wait in line to get a computer. And he was checking to see if his bonus had been paid. And as it turns out, his bonus was paid and then it was withdrawn immediately. His wife left him back home, took the kids, took all the furniture, completely moved out of the house. He didn't know where his kids were. He had no money. He didn't know where his wife was. He didn't know anything. And he was completely helpless and there was nothing he could do. The army won't do anything for that. You know, you're legally married and that sort of thing. And so try taking him back into combat when he's dealing with that back home. And that was the initial thought that dawned on me that, my gosh, we need to set something up to help these soldiers in these situations. Then fast forward a couple years in 2009, my dad, who was a Vietnam veteran, when I came back from Iraq in combat, he talked about his service for the first time. Mm-hmm. And then he and I had always talked about, you know, even though politically our country was in a very different place, very difficult, tough place I hope we never go to again during Vietnam. You strip all that down and the soldiers, in his case, the Marines, dealt with the same challenges. And so we had always talked about starting something to help. Of course, you talk about it, you don't do it. And then suddenly in April 27th, 2009, my dad passed away. And so I called some buddies. We decided, hey, we need to do something. We're going to start this organization, Wish for Our Heroes. We had no idea how to do it. We had no money, no experience, no background, no relationships. We didn't know anybody like Doug. We didn't know anybody. And so we did our own 501c3 paperwork. We stood on street corners to raise money. We'd raise like $500 in a weekend and we called the chaplain and asked, hey, do you have a family that needs help? Wow. And we just built it that way. Since then, since 2009, as you mentioned earlier, we've helped about 40,000 military families now across the United States. And, you know, being dumb army guys, dumb military guys, eventually we figured it out. So that's how it all started. It started with Wish for Our Heroes, and it's all about helping military families with basic needs, food, shelter, transportation, child needs, medical expenses. We have no paid employees. We operate strictly with volunteers. So that way, you know, literally more than 97% of everything that comes in goes back out. That was the basis then that led into the other two orgs.
Was there a moment when you absolutely knew that you were in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing?
Yes, I'm wired, Tom, such that once we determine that we're going to do something, we're going to get it done one way or another. And we granted our first wish November 2nd, 2009 for a family. His name, he was a specialist. Rob Forrest was his name, out of Fort Hood, Texas. And he had been deployed 3 out of the last 5 years. His wife had a medical condition, so she couldn't work. His oldest son had a medical condition, had 4 kids. And they had, their vehicle broke down and they simply couldn't afford to fix it. And they had one family vehicle. And so we heard about it. We went there, we learned about their situation. They were dealing with some other hardships. So we fixed the vehicle and we bought them 6 months of groceries. And I remember literally like it was yesterday. I remember, he was in tears in my arms. This is a grown man, a tough soldier. He'd been in combat 4 years and he's literally in tears in my arms. And that was probably the moment that, I knew this is what we were just meant to do. This is what we had to do. This is our mission, put it that way.
Well, and this is interesting, too. And I got 30 seconds here, so I'll just take it into the break. 60. This is, as I'm looking up some things here about volunteerism, and it is Giving Tuesday, and boy, this sure sounds like a good one. Wishforourheroes.org for more information. I'm looking at your team here. They all look so engaged, a lot of military members there. 60% of our veterans' emergency needs, housing, food, repairs like that, transportation, they are met by people like you, by nonprofits, not the VA as well. It is vital. Giving Tuesday, and our American heroes, our military members and their families have given an awful lot for this country. There's some giving back going on here with a gentleman named Jeff Wells and Doug Stebbleton, who's from Montana, recording this, a new documentary called Walking Among Heroes, the Jeff Wells story. We'll get to that as well, because proceeds from that will go to benefit these organizations. Doug Stebbleton with us, Jeff Wells. I'm Tom Schultz. Thanks for joining us again here on Voices of Montana. And thank you, Doug and Jeff, for being here. Jeff, I really want to get right into some of these stories here, too. You know, just started walking this out, this Wish for Our Heroes, founded in 2010, 40,000 wishes granted there. The Walk Among Heroes, which I find just super compelling, because there is so much healing, but still that comes. It can be difficult at times, and you're preserving these oral histories, and you get to see these firsthand accounts and these firsthand emotions. The one I referenced earlier, maybe you talk about that too. Just a gentleman who was obviously reflecting about all that's experienced there, and I've known a number of veterans, and sometimes they have trouble telling me, you know, what they did yesterday, but they remember almost every detail that happens in wartime. Talk about, just go into Walk Among Heroes for us, please.
Yeah, Tom. So these guys saved the world, right? I mean, we would not be, that's the bottom line. We would not be enjoying all the things that we enjoy today, most notably freedom, which I believe is the greatest privilege in the world, without what these gentlemen did 81 years ago. And so the post you're referring to, by the way, if you ever want to really pull at your heartstrings, check out Walk Among Heroes. It's that on all the social media channels, and you'll see some of these moments, Tom, that you just referred to. But this veteran, his name is Reed Clanton. He lives in Texas. He's now 101 years old, and he landed on Omaha Beach on D-Day 81 years ago, and one of the most violent sectors, the 29th Division, and he had never been back there. And so we learned of Reed's story, talked to Reed, spent some time with Reed. And he had always wanted to go back. And at age 100, we raised some money, took him back there. And the video you're referring to is when he visited the cemetery in Normandy, which literally sits on the bluff above Omaha Beach. He visited the cemetery for the first time. He went in the chapel and he said a prayer for his brothers who weren't fortunate enough to survive that day. And very emotional for him. He hadn't talked about any of this in 80 years at that point. And when he was able to finally express this emotion and get this out, he talked about it for the first time. And we have this team now. We started Walking My Heroes 5 or 6 years ago. We have this team, and it's run by veterans, okay? It's run by American veterans. And so we find these World War II veterans at this point. Now, once there are no more World War II veterans, we'll evolve to Vietnam veterans and other veterans. But at this point, we find World War II veterans who have never returned to these places around the world, Normandy, Bastogne, Belgium, other places, and we take them back. And we really try to give them the experience of a lifetime and to see them welcomed, to see them embraced by the locals to do all that. It's just, I can't even, just words can't describe it. You can watch those videos, they're very emotional, all those things, but until you stand, and Doug knows this, until you stand right next to one of these incredible heroes when they make their return and they're welcomed by the local people, it's just amazing. And so that's what our organization does. We raise money to take these veterans back. And then we also now we scholarship students, which we call our ambassador program, high school students to go along with them. Because, I mean, one of these students, we all know the younger generation, you know, they don't teach history as well, you know, all those things. We talk about that all the time. But we are actually doing something about it. And the best way that we figure to do something about it is to scholarship to bring these high school students back to stand side by side with the World War II veterans and learn from them. So that's what Walk Among Heroes is all about.
Wow. And Doug, as a film producer, you know, when you see something like that and a storyteller, a picture like that is really worth a thousand year words, so to speak. How do you capture that? How do you go you know, tell a story that is so compelling, so historical that, like Jeff had said, we don't have words for it.
Yeah, well, Jeff's done a great job, him and Mike Tarr and his group, of capturing a lot of video already on their various trips. I'm planning on being in Normandy next year, next June, and I'll have a crew, and we're going to do a lot of filming with Jeff and his crew and whoever, the couple of veterans that he brings back next year. And and he's going to Bastogne also, the Battle of the Bulge, and I think on the 11th in the next 10 days. He'll get some footage from that trip. But we gather the footage. We will interview the veterans. I've interviewed a lot of veterans through the years, and some of them don't want to talk too much, but some eventually open up and give great information. And so we're going to get all their stories. We've already interviewed a lot of Jeff's volunteers and people associated with and why they do what they do. And so get all that footage, and then we go into post-production and we start putting and finding the story and you know, weaving it all together. But Jeff is the thread. That's the why I'm calling it Walking Among Heroes, the Jeff Wells story, because it started because of Jeff wanting to help his active duty guys. And then also he didn't mention, but his grandfather was in World War II. He fought in Italy. So his interest in World War II, he found some stuff in the attic of his grandfather, and that kind of led him to doing what he's doing with Walk Among Heroes. So I just think it's a great story. We'll get interviews and footage, and we'll put it all together. And the whole idea of the film is to get even more exposure for his three organizations. As you mentioned, you know, we're going to, the film is called Walking Among Heroes, the Jeff Wells story. And the money, we're trying to raise money now for the film, but when the film's done, I told Jeff that his organizations can own the film, and also 100% of the proceeds from the film go back into the organizations to continue granting more wishes and helping more people. So it's going to be a great film. I already know it. I've seen it unfold as we've been starting since September shooting. Yeah. So it's very exciting.
And walkamongheroes.org is where you'll find it. And you can go and / film and find out more information about the film and other ways that you can help there as well. One of the things that you noted, Doug, here, and Jeff, I'm going to have you talk about it. Every grant, your next, one of your organizations here is Wish for Our Heroes. And you're doing a little Wish Patrol tonight even, which I think you should talk about. But every one of those grants is a lifeline, as Doug said, that keeps military households stable. So they can focus on their mission, too. Talk about Wish for Our Heroes and then the Wish Patrol.
So every year around the holidays, you know, the military families, particularly the younger service members like E5 and below, they don't make very much money. That's no secret. And when small needs arise, if those small needs aren't addressed, oftentimes they turn into larger needs. And during the holidays, all of that is magnified. So, gosh, it's probably been like 8 or 10 years ago. We started seeing every single holiday season, we started seeing these needs really pour in for military families. And these are not big, sexy things, basic stuff. Yeah. Christmas dinner, a few gifts for my children, you know, things like that. And so we started this program. We called it the Wish Patrol because in the early days, we used to go to their service members' houses and surprise them. They would be referred by the chain of command. We'd go to their houses with a group of people. We'd knock on the doors like a convoy. We'd go knock on the door. They'd open the door. We'd sing them Christmas carols. Then we'd each bring them a gift, put them under the tree, and move on to the next house. But then that grew so big. We had so many families now that we didn't have the time to literally go house to house to house. So tonight we'll bring everybody together in one room. These families think they're coming to a holiday party. We'll have 30 to 40 military families tonight, and they think they're just coming to a party, and we're going to surprise them. Each family will have their own tree scattered around the room, and then throughout the course of the evening we'll surprise them and give them the Christmas of a lifetime. And that's just a microcosm of what we do at Wish for Our Heroes. It's all basic needs: food, shelter, transportation, child needs. And then at Christmas, we view Christmas for children and getting a gift on Christmas morning as a child need, right? I mean, that's just something that regardless, like I didn't grow up with a lot of money. My family, I know many didn't, but on Christmas morning, I always had a gift, right? And it could have been small, could have been whatever, but it was a gift. And that's the least we can do for these families who sacrifice so much. And the children in these military families, nobody pays a greater burden of sacrifice than the spouse and the children. You go from school to school to school. Every 2 years you move, you deal with all that. Least we can do is get them a gift. So that's the whole point of what we're doing tonight.
Well, and I'm so thankful for you and your organization and people like that. I mean, you're making a difference. Like, these are the unsung things, I think, in a lot of ways, too, that you don't know how far into the future this blessing carries, you know. So congratulations on that. We got to get a word in here, too, about Winston. Who's Winston? What is Winston?
Winston is the driving force behind me personally. You know, I deal with a lot of things, baggage, we'll call it, from serving in the military. Some people call it PTSD, whatever you want to call it. When you've been in combat, I think you probably deal with some of that. And so 3 or 4 years ago, there was a big freeze in Texas. You may remember it shut down the power grid.
Sure do.
And I found this little dog in a ditch on the side of the road who's a puppy. He had a broken leg. His name was Winston. And Winston healed, and we kind of started working together. And I'm going to keep this real short, but bottom line, he's now a champion. He's an agility champion. He competes in agility. He does a whole bunch of things. But most importantly, he helps me. He's my service dog. He helps me, you know, just get through the day and deal with life. And so I realized the power that he had. His story as a rescue dog, kind of an imperfect soul, so to speak, rescuing me, an imperfect soul, and the two of us worked together. And we wanted to figure out a way to share that same story with other veterans. So we started Winston's Warriors to help rescue dogs off the street who otherwise would maybe be on a kill list or wouldn't have another path, and then pairing them with veterans who are struggling with mental illness. And so it's a very powerful story. I could talk to you for an hour on just that, but I think every one of your listeners probably understands the power that dogs and canines have, the healing powers that they have. And, you know, when you're a veteran and you're going through these struggles, you know, you hear all the numbers. Every day, 22 veterans take their lives, right? You hear these horrible, horrible things. Yeah. Well, when you get into suicide and issues like that, one of the most common issues is being alone, right? And so by pairing, in its simplest form, by pairing a veteran with a companion like a canine or a dog, that veteran is never alone. And unfortunately, we can't quantify the number of lives we saved. They don't have statistics on, you know, number of suicides that didn't happen. So we can't quantify those. But what I do know for certain, because I've seen it with my own eyes and my own life, is the impact that these canines have. And so that's the whole idea between Winston's Warriors and really the three organizations, Tom and Doug. You know, Doug knows this. It boils down to taking care of those who served before us, taking care of those who serve now, making sure they have what they need, and then figuring out ways to take care of those that are struggling with mental illness and things, and then saving some dogs along the way.
Yeah. I love what you do, Jeff, and I very much appreciate that. So walkamongheroes.org and then wishforourheroes.org for more information. Doug, I'm going to have you stand by, okay, and kind of finish it up here. I know, Jeff, that you've got to go. You got another event, and then you've got that Wish Patrol going on tonight. I'm a little bit jealous. There's probably going to be a lot of joy spread in that place, and that's the kind of joy that everybody needs to see. And so thank you for what you do, Jeff, and I look forward to chatting with you down the road, sir.
Tom, thanks for everything. And Doug, thanks for all you do and appreciate everything.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Yeah.
Merry Christmas. Thanks, Jeff.
Wrapping up here with Doug Stapleton. He is from Montana, a filmmaker, film producer as well. And he's recording this story. We just heard from Jeff Wells, who started these nonprofit organizations, Wish for Our Heroes, 35 million raised, 40,000 wishes granted, Walk Among Heroes, telling that story. And then Winston's Warriors as well, rescue dogs connected with these heroes. Doug, I don't envy you. All right, maybe I do, you know, telling this story. There's a lot to these this storytelling in this regard. But, you know, just kind of put a bow on this for us here. We got about a minute plus to do that.
Great. Well, yeah, thank you again for having us on. And, yeah, I'm glad people got a chance to meet Jeff. He's the real deal, a great guy. I've seen him in action, and everything we talked about is true. It's happening. He's changing lives. I've seen it. I've met the people, some of the people that he's changed lives and helped them in the capacity he talked about. And so my job, yeah, is to take his story and his organization's story and then put it in a documentary to let people know, get more exposure for his organization, to let people know what he's doing. Some people might even be able to reach out to him now that they know what he's doing and they can be helped through his organization. So that's the idea, is to tell the story, get more exposure. And as I mentioned, he is a nonprofit. So the money that we're trying to raise to make the film for the budget, which is called, if people go to walkamongheroes.org/film, they can watch the film trailer. And once the film comes out, 100% of the proceeds will go back into helping the organization to grant more wishes and bring more World War II veterans over to Normandy, Italy, and the Battle of the Bulge, and we'll just keep that cycle going. So that's my job, is to get the story so people can learn more about it.
Well, they
years to come.
They're doing the right things for the right reason, and that story deserves to be told, so thank you for doing that. Home for Christmas, are you, Doug?
Yes, I just bought my ticket. I'm going to spend Christmas with my family in Glasgow, Montana, the big town of Glasgow.
Love that. Give them all our best, okay? Yeah. And thanks for what you do, okay?
Thank you.
Keep tracking with us on this one, okay?
I will. Thank you.
All right. Doug Stebbleton and then Jeff Wells. Thank you guys so much. Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.